Welcome, dear listener, to another episode of the Mantic Universe Podcast. I am sitting here today with my good friend Brandon Rossbond. How's it going, Brandon?
Hey, Mark. Great to be here. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, always a pleasure to have you join us here on MUP. So I just thought that we would take a chance to catch up with you. It's been a little bit, and just kind of see what's coming up. Adepticon's coming. We've got Clem all excited about a particular piece of lore, which you'll hear in the month monthly coming up. We're recording that tomorrow, so it should be fun. So, but yeah, we catch up, and you know, my first question for you is: I saw a post on Facebook about Xander and becoming an imprint or something like that for Wing to Star Publishing. So, what's that? I don't remember Xander anywhere along there. He's cute as all get out, so, and I love it. So, but I know there's Wing to Star, and then there's Mock Books, and then there's
right. So Xander is my son's name, and when we first started getting into some of the other genres, so like we were approached by an author to do a young adult book, more so like a children's young adult book, and he's a local guy. I knew him. I was friendly with him, and I really like the concept of his book. The title is The Summer My Grandmother's Yard Tried to Kill Me, or something along those lines. And it was like your 80s horror within the mind of an autistic child. And so he kind of sees, he experiences, it's like a fiction novel. So he experiences his grandmother's yard has been infected with this chemical that's turned it into a monster that it then infects people and turns them into zombies. So I really like the concept, and I really wanted to move forward with it, but it didn't really fit under Wing to Star, and it didn't really fit under his mock books. So Vince said, well, we want to do it. So we published it, but he made another imprint for those type of like the children's and young adult books called Xander Books, which I think the logo is ZAB, which is why the promo we were running for my son's birthday was ZAB 2024, because it was just a plug for Xander Books. But we don't really advertise it too much because we don't really have a lot under that imprint right now. But that's kind of like our catch-all for the younger audience.
Oh, well, very, very cool. I mean, I'm sure many of our listeners have youngins running around the house. So unfortunately, mine have grown up, or I'd be looking more diligently at that particular piece. But I was excited to hear about it. I never heard about it before. And I figure, you know, if anybody else saw the Facebook post rumbling around, they were wondering what was going on as well. So, but very exciting.
Thank you.
Also, the other thing I wanted to definitely catch up with you on was Adepticon is coming up. So can you tell us all about your big plans for Adepticon this year?
Yes, super excited. We didn't go to Adepticon last year. It's a little bit of a trek for us because we are in New Jersey, and it doesn't necessarily make sense to fly all of our books to Chelmsford. So we drive every year. Adepticon is always an exciting time. We love being able to meet the fantasy and sci-fi gamers that we publish the novels within the games of like Kings of War and Infinity. It's always a really fun time. But we took a year off to kind of just, you know, lay out some more books, get the library pumped up a little bit. And we're coming back this year, hot and heavy. We have we're going to try to really pimp the booth out this year. We've got posters we're going to try to hang up at the booth. We've got we're going to have three Infinity novels that will be out. We will have lots of Kings of War novels. I think the count's up to 10 or 11. And, you know, we're going to be bringing our other stuff. Since the last time we were at Adepticon, we have purchased an interest in a bookstore called On Military Matters, which has a lot of new, used, out-of-print history books, as well as some really – they are one of the biggest providers of original rules, tabletop gaming rules in the United States. And they have a lot of exclusive contracts with publishers over in the UK that you can't find anywhere else in the US. So it's really got some awesome and niche products, and we've got a lot of customers. So, and a lot of those customers also know Wing to Star. So it's interesting seeing the crossover since I've started working the day-to-day there, and seeing, like, I see names, I'm like, oh, I know that person because they've bought books, or oh, I know that person from one of the conventions. So it's a nice little marriaging of the two businesses. So we'll be bringing a lot of those products with us as well. I'm going to be looking through all of our best sellers and bringing them. So some of our sci-fi and fantasy gamers who haven't necessarily heard of On Military Matters because it's an East Coast company can then look at the products that we have. And we do shipping, you know, worldwide. So if you do see us at Adepticon, and if you're listening to this podcast and you want to check out onmilitarymatters.com, lots and lots of different products. always can get whatever we have on the website, usually a day or a week or two. But so we've got a lot of different things we're bringing this year. In addition to that, we are going to be running a seminar this year, which is our first time doing that. We're going to see how it goes. We sold out. I think the first day that the tickets went live, we sold out. And then we tried to extend it to get more seating in there. And I'm not sure the latest. The last I was told that they were looking to try to get another room with more seating. I don't think it's been done yet because we have, like, I think 10 people on the wait list. So we put it at 25 because we weren't sure how many people were actually going to be interested. Sold that out, and then we have another 10 on a wait list. So we're happy with that. We're going to try to get some of our authors that are going to be there to talk. So they're going to be available for Q&A. Craig Gallant is, you know, one of our long-term authors. He was a host on the D6 Generation podcast, which is unfortunately just ending, but he's still writing with us, and Craig will be there to answer questions. We're also going to have a first-time published author, Riley O'Connor. Riley's been working with us since we were working on the Beyond the Gates of Antares series, but we had to reshuffle his book around. So now that his book is going to be coming out, hopefully in time for Adepticon, we will have that. We will have him as a first-time author. So we'll have a veteran author and a first-time author. And we reached out to all of our other authors to see who was going to be around. And this was kind of like the year of, well, I went last year, but I'm not going to go this year. Or I've got stuff coming up, but maybe I'll go next year. So this is kind of just a first foray. We have a couple authors. We've got Vince and myself. We'll be there to answer questions. We're going to be doing a presentation, and this is just kind of going to be a way for people to be able to directly talk to the publishers. You know, if you have questions about writing or you're interested in getting into writing, and that's always one of my things, is I love taking a look at what people have to offer, and I love taking a chance on somebody who's got a potential really great story. They just don't know where to go with it. So if you're at Adepticon, come up and talk to us, either, you know, in the vendor hall, or if you see us after the show when you want to talk, after the seminar and you want to talk to us, I'm always all ears to talk.
Very, very cool. So I'm going to take, there's two topics in there I want to hit on. So I'm going to start with the first one. On Military Matters, what kind of rule sets are they bringing in? Obviously going to be historical?
It's a little bit of a mix of everything. The general audience is more historical, but we do some sci-fi and fantasy, just not a lot. I'm trying to think of, we work closely with, darn it, I'm drawing a blank. Give me 1 second.
No problem. Oh, you can edit this out, Fred.
What the heck is it? Oh, we work closely with the guys over at Little Wars TV. So we do a couple different rule sets with them, like Age of Hannibal, which is an ancient rule set, and do some Civil War rule sets. They're great guys. We've been the previous owner / still co-owner, Dennis, has been working with them for years, and we have a really good relationship. So the majority of rules are historical, but there is a few sci-fi and fantasy stuff dabbled in there. And one of the things we've had a lot of success with in the past at Adepticon is the historical stuff, because people have come up to us and said, we don't see that much here at the convention. And I know they've kind of relegated the historical stuff to another building, which I think actually was one of the things that really was not great for us the last time we were at Adepticon, because there was such a big disconnect. But we've always had a lot of people coming up to us and looking for the historical stuff. I think the biggest thing is, you know, people who are coming to this Adepticon know where to find us for the most part, because we are pretty prevalent on social media, and they know where to find our Kings of War and Infinity stuff. So I don't necessarily see long-term fans coming up to us to buy those books, because they already know where to find them. But the historical stuff is kind of like, oh, I wasn't expecting to see that here, but I'm interested in the type of material that's here.
Oh, there you go. Well, as you know, I'm a longtime historical wargamer previous to getting into 40K and all that, and starting my way down into the fictional stuff. So played a lot of Napoleonics in my day, let me tell you. So
we got a lot of neat rules. So you're definitely going to have to check it out when you stop by the booth.
Absolutely. Well, I will have to do that. So I'll have to check that out. I'm trying to think of what was the last set of Napoleonic rules that I played. I know it had a 3 in it. So at the end, so played a lot of Johnny Reb, you know, nice stuff like that. So very, very cool. Shifting over to the seminar, sadly and happily, Colin got a part in the university play. So which the performances are the exact days of Adepticon. So
Of course they are.
What are the odds? Right. So he will not be coming. So somebody on the wait list is going to be thrilled, because they're going to be able to get into your into your seminars, which is great. So,
well, we are going to also you know, we want to make it obviously live for everybody that's there, but we are also going to try to record it and release it on the Wing to Start Pubcast YouTube channel, so that way people who weren't able to make it or people who are interested after the fact can at least check it out after the fact. So if we are, by the technological grace of God, able to get that recorded, you can at least check it out afterwards.
Well, yes, Adepticon giveth and taketh away when it comes to technology, let me tell you. So you're in a good spot or a bad spot. It all depends.
Exactly.
Well, that's fun. Well, I was just excited to see it come up. I mean, I got our tickets like right away. It's like, wow, Wing to Sour Publishing. That's cool. So, and in particular, because there's not going to be a formal Mantic night. So usually we hear from you guys at Mantic night. And so that was a little sad, but then you compensated with the seminar, which is fantastic. So,
well, for those listening who are into the sci-fi genre, if there's any Infinity fans out there, we are going to be having a 5-minute presentation at Corvus Belli's in seminar. I forget which day it is off the top of my head, but I already talked to the team there. So we're going to be present in two seminars, our own and then Corvus Belli's.
Oh, very, very cool. Well, it's going to be great. We missed you guys last year. So
absolutely. Feeling's the same.
Yeah. Just it'll be good to have you back and sitting there and be able to visit. So, and I'm assuming if people bring their books, you guys might do a little autographing for them at the booth.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if it's my autograph on like Nature's Night or Edge of the Abyss or whatever they want, I'd be happy to. My standalone novel isn't going to be releasing until the summer, so that's something to look forward to for next year. But Riley's book should be out, and if they're interested in buying that, they can have him sign that. And any of Craig's books, he's dabbled in science fiction and fantasy, so we've got tons of stuff from Craig. So we were trying to work on some of the not their authors to pre-sign books, so that way people could buy signed copies. But it's always like one of those things that's like, it's such a great idea, but it never works out in the actuality of it, because then you ship the books back. So for those looking for a Mark Barber signature, we tried to do it. You're just going to have to wait or go over to a convention closer to him.
There you go. Clash of Kings. There you go. Sadly, I'm not going to make it to Clash of Kings either. So it was very, very disappointing in that. But, you know, next year is supposed to be in the cards, so I'm going to be working on that, and we will see how it goes. Still a slight chance, depending on when they put the Irish tournament in there, but that's slim, but we'll see what happens. So the great thing was about my trip to the UK is I discovered, I mean, at least for me, it was not as bad as advertised. You know, that seems to be something I could, you know, jump on the plane and dash over there. You know, it's a long trip and everything else, and you get the time zones, but, you know, it's not as horrendous as people make it out to be. So at least for me. So I did okay with it. So very, very cool.
I've been over there once a long time ago, and it was quick, easy. I mean, relatively speaking, it was quick, but it was easy and it was fun.
Absolutely. So, well, we had a little segue in there too. So there's another book coming out. You said Riley's book's coming out. Is that coming out before Adepticon, being released at Adepticon?
Yeah, it's going to be, we're hoping it's going to be before, but realistically, it's probably going to release, the actual release is going to be at Adepticon. It's a sci-fi standalone novel, so kind of like a space opera, and we've kind of worked to help build out this universe as his own original universe. We do have another sci-fi novel that's going to be releasing just before Adepticon, but it'll probably be everybody's first physical seeing of it. Our latest Infinity novel, Eraghart, that will release pretty much at Adepticon. It was supposed to release in January, and then we had some issues with the cover, and it got delayed a little bit, but it's finally going to be coming out. It should be out. It's actually in the warehouse right now, Vince told me, but it physically, most people will be able to see it for the first time at Adepticon. So we'll probably have two books new to the show.
Oh, that's good news. So we've got Pride of the King that's out, and there's been a lot of coverage on this book. And actually, Ben Stoddard joined you guys over on the WH Pubcast. So if you need an in-depth review and covering that, I will point you over to the WH Pubcast to get a lot of that information. So I have not yet started it, so I need to get going on that. I hear it's a little dense.
Yeah, so it's our longest novel yet, but the reason being is because it was super, super lore heavy. And in our interview with Ben, this was our first time, because because we're still a new public podcast channel, we try to we're trying a thing where we have two episodes devoted to the author, where one is you get to know the author and the other one is you get to know the book the author is coming on to talk about. So if people want to hear a very, and this has always been, you know, just an issue because people don't have time. They want to talk, but they don't have time to read the book, which is completely understandable. But since I've worked on the book, I know all the ins and outs. So we devote an episode specifically to talking about everything spoiler related and behind the scenes related to the book. So if you want, if you've read Pride of the King and you want to hear some behind the scenes things and the inner workings of what happened in the book, check out that episode. If you are on the fence or you want to know more about it and you don't care about spoilers, go listen to that episode. That will hopefully lure you in. Actually, no, the first episode. I think the first episode is a spoiler-free episode. So if you want a lure to try to get into the Pride of the King book, listen to the first episode. If you've already read it and you want behind the scenes, listen to the second part. But yeah, it was very dense because we had so much to pack in, and there's a couple different side plots. Because, you know, this was our first, like, massive push forward in the lore of an army that's, like, hands down tells the story of currently what's going on with the dwarves and what to look forward to in the dwarves. The ending of the first book sets up a big plot twist. And I think I mentioned this the last time I was on the show. I'm not 100% sure, but Chris actually called the ending of the book when I went on the show. I think that my first time on the show, and I said to him, I like completely glazed it over, because I'm like, Ben messaged me. He's like, how did he know that? I'm like, I don't know. Nobody was supposed to know about how the book ended. So we just played it off as nothing, and Chris didn't say anything. And then when the book released, I was like, okay, whew, nobody actually saw the ending of the book that actually happened. So somehow he nailed it on the head without knowing the actual ending of the book. And I don't know how he did that, but he did. So this is a big book, and it will tell a lot of things, and it sets up for a lot about the Free and Imperial Dwarves moving forward and what that entails. Now, this is the first of a trilogy, so you can only imagine about what's next to come after this. But, you know, it's telling the story of a couple of different dwarves that already have miniatures and rules and background information. It lets you flesh those out. So when you're playing that character, you actually feel more, like, you know more about it. You know the inspirations. It makes you, when you're a dwarf player, it makes you want to carry that unit in your army more, because he's got a story that you know, and you're going to flesh out that story in your own way. Meanwhile, there's still some original characters as well. Ben's kind of done a great job of introducing some new characters to stand alongside the already existing characters. So that way it does feel like it's a shared universe of these guys are on the same playing field, and not because this guy has rules, he's 10 times elevated compared to this guy. It makes it feel like it's a fleshed out society, which was great.
Yeah, we've always advocated for that, about, you know, getting a miniature tied to a specific character in the book. And I know that that's expensive, and, you know, it hasn't been a big thing, and Matt hasn't given the green light for that. But, you know, on the other hand, it sounds like you're taking some of the minor characters that already have models and throwing them in the book. So that's a good thing.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it's something, I think I've talked about this on previous episodes, but it's a tough thing to do, because when you work with, we've worked with a lot of different companies, and some companies have this approach of hands off. Like, you cannot touch a named character. That is their IP. They don't want you doing anything with it. They don't want to have to retcon anything, which is completely understandable. You know, they're allowing you to play in their sandbox, but they don't have to give you all their toys. But meanwhile, Mantic has kind of said, well, no, you can use these characters, just talk to us. So going into it, we wanted to lay the groundwork of, this is the universe. We fleshed out what the universe is like and what you can expect from the tone of the books. Now it's moving forward, pretty much most, if not all, the books are going to be, well, now that you know what to expect from the Kings of War universe, now you can start seeing these named characters in play, and you can start seeing them fleshed out, and you can start seeing their actual stories. You know, one of the books that I've talked about in the past, it's gotten pushed back because of various amounts of creative issues, but there's going to be a book on Morgoth eventually. Tom Fearn is scheduled to write that book. He's one of our newer authors, but he wants to get his standalone book out first, his standalone Kings of War book out, which kind of deals with the Hedral Library, because he wants to make sure he has the tone right for the world and make sure that, you know, he builds a little bit of a following before he jumps right into a powerful character like Morgoth. So his book is on my short list of next few projects to work on. But we've got Mark Barber's fourth Basileian novel, whenever he gets to it, is going to have some big named characters in that as well. There was talk about the big Naeus being a main supporting character in that book. I don't know if he's changed his mind on that since. I think the book is going to feature him pretty significantly, but it's also not even anywhere written yet. So that plans might change on that. So if there's any other big, and you know, we always try to make community character names dropped in here and there wherever we can. We've gone through the list pretty significantly. I had a running list of characters, and I think we've hit them all in some capacity. Like Ben made a community nod in Pride of the King that, you know, I think I had on my list, and he knew the guy who was the dwarf player, so he just added that in seamlessly, and that character appears, actually might make a reappearance, so that's a nice little community nod. But we, you know, I think I've run out of lists, so if anybody has like community names they want to see added in the book as like a throwaway line, let me know, because like I said, my list is exhausted. And we try to make sure we have that balance of here are the characters that already exist, here are the characters you guys have created, and here are the characters that the authors have created. So it's a shared universe, and we want to make sure everybody's getting their part in some capacity.
There you go. Well, you have to add our mascots, Brains and Brock, in there now. So they're kind of a duo if you take a look at it. Brock's the and he can do sci-fi and he can do fantasy. We've nice. Had him logoed up both ways. So Brains is the zombie, his zombie sidekick, and Brock is the dwarf. So nice. Lots of fun. So, but yeah, we can put that on there. So we actually have a surprise going on in the background with those two guys right now. So I can't say much more about that at the moment, but we're working on it.
Nice.
So, and then speaking of sci-fi, one of the things coming up and one thing Clem is super excited about is Epic Warpath. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so there's very little fluff about that floating around right now. Any thought? I know that a companion book came out with Armada. No companion book for Epic Warpath, I'm going to assume. And then anything out there that you can tell us about regarding Epic Warpath?
We did pitch an idea to Mantic to launch a novel with it, but they did not want to do that at release. So Scott Washburn is willing and ready to do a sci-fi novel with them, but we haven't. He's writing his second halfling novel. Down the line, absolutely, we do have some sci-fi books contracted, but I think I mentioned last time, it's that striking the balance. So because we have, you know, the issue with us jumping into sci-fi is that kind of cuts the line from what we can do in the production schedule. So if we do, while we are committed to doing, like crossing the whole stream of all the different books, a sci-fi book takes away from us doing a Kings of War book. And then we try to do Kings of War and Warpath back to back, or Dead Zone or whatever back to back, then that takes away from our other franchises. So it's kind of been the parallel we've been trying to do is just make sure that all the companies that we work with are happy. So we try to alternate them to make sure everybody gets their time in the sun. So it's there, but because there's such a big focus on Kings of War, and because we have such, you know, we've talked with Mantic about these plans that we have for Kings of War and trying to make sure we keep up with, you know, the next, whenever the next version comes out or the next campaign comes out, next supplement, whatever, it's hard to make sure we have something that hits that timeline and then stays accurate, because we plan these books to come out with the different expansions, but it's so hard to do because there's so many moving parts, and what the game production schedules like and what the publishing production schedules like are two completely different beasts. And it's kind of like we keep working on trying to have them cohesive and have them mesh at the same time, but just time is such time's our opponent pretty much, where they can kind of plan something and then get it out, and then, you know, in a relatively short time or even a long time, you know, in their schedule, where whenever they plan something, we have to plan it further in advance, because we can't make the book that we sign on to be the next thing, because that's in a queue of like 10 to 12 other books, including other IPs. So we can't take that plan that we have and just shove it up to the front of the line. That happened with Pious, and unfortunately, because of how quickly we crashed onto the schedule, it didn't reach the distribution channels that we needed it to. So while it was really well received with the community, it didn't do well in the greater book community. So we're trying to strike that balance of how do we make sure we get something that ties into a release, but also doesn't push all the things that are in front of it back a year. You know what I mean? So it's a tough thing to try to do. We have books scheduled, but just we we can't cut the line is what it boils down to.
Well, that only makes sense. I mean, you know, we're just grateful that you guys are publishing the novels. So, I mean, that's where it comes down to for me. So, speaking of which, what is the next Kings of War novel coming out?
So, originally, the next book that's coming out is Honor's Price by Mike Rossi. And originally, they were supposed to launch really close together. But these two novels are really dense and tell a lot of backstory of the dwarves. So Mike's is, and originally Mike's was supposed to be first and Ben's was supposed to be second. But because Ben's was the heavier lore book and Mike's was more of a standalone, they flipped. And just because of the timing of who finished first and where the schedule of editing was. So Mike's novel takes place, Honor's Price takes place before Pride of a King. So his is about the first group of dwarves to try to leave the empire and go back to reclaim Halpi. So his is more, it's less of a individual character story and it's more of an army story. That's the best way I can describe it. All the stories we've had past have been about, you know, individual characters. And while there is a focus on individual characters, the main element of the story is this free dwarf clan trying to retake their homeland. And it actually given me an interesting perspective on the novels because we've always made the numbers vague on purpose because it's kind of like that's up to the gamer or the reader to picture how many miniatures or how many models or how many forces are actually being talked about in these books. We don't want to retcon anything. We don't want any hard numbers. But while I've been doing Honor's Price, Mike has been putting some hard numbers in there that he and I have gone back and forth and we eventually decided to leave it vague, but it put things in interesting perspective because like, well, there's this many models on a base and it represents this many models. So it should be about this because it's a big force going back. And I'm like, I had to go back and look and say, we've never actually put numbers in. So we agreed to do vague, but it's an interesting thing that I'm curious to see how readers take it and see how it compares to the other novels. If they do get that scale of an epic conquest back.
Very interesting. So retaking Halpi is before Ben's novel?
Yes, because this is going to be, not retaking Halpi as a whole, but retaking, this is the first.
Well, trying to.
Yes.
Mean, you've hit my hot button. The fact that they got tossed out of Halpi in the first place, I think is beep, 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 beep. So, yes. All right. I mean, I just, that's from that campaign and, I still don't agree with that, but I understand from a lore perspective and it moved everything forward, but I fought really hard to keep them in those dang mountains.
So. Well, you'll have to read Pride of a King to see why that, what was going on behind the scenes to cause that, because I think that might put things in a little bit more perspective for you. And you might look at the whole campaign a little bit differently after you finish reading that book. And I'll be interested in hearing your thoughts on that.
Uh-oh. All right. I'm up for the challenge. Pride of the King is my next book. So I'm still on a high from Ascent of the Goblin King. That book was so good. I don't want to forget it. You know, I mean, so, you know, or you know, you read another book and your mind gets thinking on that. And I just enjoyed the afterglow, so to speak, of that book. It was so good.
And that was an interesting one for us to work on because it flipped the whole story on its head. You weren't reading about necessarily a good guy protagonist, but your protagonist was a villain. So it was an interesting take. And the whole time I was editing it, I was like, I don't know how people are going to take this. I like the way it's written and I like the story, but are people going to be able to appreciate the fact that you're reading through the perspective of a bad guy?
Oh, I got it. But, you know, and that's part of the reason I liked it maybe so much is because, you know, you got to a certain point and you're like, oh, I know how this is going to go in the novel and then flip.
You know? Yep.
And it wasn't all just against, you know, bad guys versus the good guys. There was bad guys versus the bad guys. So,
absolutely.
You know, You're in a position where you're not rooting for either one of them. If you are rooting, I mean, and he's a protagonist, so I'm going to be rooting for him, you know.
Exactly. Plus,
yeah. And he was the character I picked out of that campaign setting that I really thought was cool. Okay. And I was a little sad that he didn't get like a model for him and stuff like that. And, you know, so he kind of got slighted during that period, too. So he always had a soft spot in my heart, although being a goblin. Okay. But, it was such a good book. So I'm looking forward to Rob's next one. It just, I don't know, it just hit all the buttons for me. It just, it felt Kings of War. It just, I don't know, it just, it was so good. I don't know what else to say. I'm sitting here babbling like an idiot. But
well, it's got that mix of darker tone with humor. So it's got like an interposed mix. So it does kind of tick all the boxes. And this is one of the questions we were asked for years: is when are we going to get a novel from a villain point of view? And I always said it's going to be tough to do. It has to be done right. And I think Rob did a great job at hitting it in the right way. That you read it, and because it's a goblin, just because it's your protagonist doesn't mean anything about the fact he's a goblin. You want to know, why is this your protagonist? You want to keep seeing more about his story, because obviously he's the protagonist for a reason.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a good book. Yeah, I don't want to spoil much of it, but I mean, just the whole thing. It was fantastic. You know, now that book, I liked what, and I'm going to invoke the bad name, Games Workshop, okay? But GW, okay, put out these box sets, you know, with two armies in them, and it had a story that went along with it. And they were really good. And I can't remember the name of my favorite one, so I'm going to look real quick. Blight War. Okay. Oh, the story in that is so good, and the miniatures are so cool. I would love to see a box set for Ascent of the Goblin King and have Grogger. And Grogger's a Mantic character, so they should be able to do him and put him in there and pick a piece of the campaign, you know, part of that, and put out a box set for that, just for that. I think that would be awesome.
Absolutely, I agree.
Absolutely, that should be fun. All right, so anything else we missed, Brandon? Anything else you want to share with us before we cut out?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. You know, always I will say, if you've enjoyed any of the books you've read by us, please leave a review on Amazon or Goodreads. If you haven't listened to the podcast yet, shameless plug, I'm sorry, make sure you check out WH Pubcast for some behind the scenes about what goes on in novels and writing. If you have an idea, feel free to reach out to me on social media, and I'd love to talk to you. If you're going to be at Adepticon, please come up and say hi. If you want to talk about the novels, you want to talk about any ideas, you want to talk about the business, happy to talk.
Fantastic. Well, we'll be catching up with you at Adepticon. So anything awesome new that happens between now and then, we will be able to do that. So, oh, I did think of one more question. When do you think Mike's novel is going to come out?
Still needs we're tweaking some of the finer aspects of it. I will be hopeful and say summer.
Okay.
It needs a little bit more work. It's a great story, but just we're tweaking some of the technical aspects of it to bring it the best possible version of the story we can to the readers. I think it's going to need I'm almost done another pass on it. So I think it might need one or two more, and then it should be good to go. So I'm going to say, with the time of when it actually goes to the printer and comes out, I'm going to say, be hopeful and say summer. Start of summer.
All right. Well, start of summer? I was going to give you late summer. So, but
I'll go start of summer. I'll go optimistic. I'd rather be optimistic than pessimistic.
There you go. Well, my theory is always under promise and over deliver. So, so, all right. In my mind, I'm going to think late summer. That way, if it comes out earlier, I'm going to be really happy. I'll be happy when it comes out. So, oh, and remember the thing you have to do for sure is you've got to get a copy of the book that says "To Steve Hildrew, one of my biggest fans," signed by Mike Rossi. So you can package that up, and that's got to go off to Steve. So, okay. So
I'll make sure Mike listens to this, and I'll make sure he hears your message.
There you go. Oh no, Mike knows what a huge fan Steve Hildrew is of Mike Rossi. Good. So that is not a problem, but no, we got to work on that book. So yes, this is going to be in audio format, posted for the world to hear. And so we will be all set. We got to make that happen. Okay. So put that on the to-do list.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, Brandon, it is a pleasure to see you. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy life to come see us. I know you got to get back to the family and enjoy. So I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Mark. Always.
All right. And remember, everyone, so much universe, so little time.